Welcome to Highwind Herald, a podcast where two Final Fantasy-obsessed brothers discuss everything from Azura to Zell and all things in between.
We are your hosts, Wolfgens and Soloists, Brothers of Light. Welcome to episode 114 of Highwind Herald. I'm Wolfgens, that soloist over there. We're doing this with video.
Yo,
we've got a big show for you tonight, I think, that actually soloist gets to do most of the talking for. But before that, we start every episode, of course, with a trivia question. And based on the topic of the week, of the month, of the year, it is Final Fantasy VII based. Are you ready for this question?
No. Because okay, if this week has taught me anything, it's that I don't remember anything about Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Yeah, you might get this one. Where was the original Avalanche founded?
Not Midgar. That sounds like it would be too obvious.
Does, doesn't it?
I'm going to say something crazy and say Junon.
No. Incorrect.
What is it?
Okay, let's talk through it for a minute. Where does it make sense that it would be founded?
Nibelheim?
No. What's their core beliefs? What are they driving? What are they trying to do? Avalanche. What's their mission?
They're trying to stop the Mako, to save the planet.
Okay.
It's killing the planet.
Exactly. Man. And who knows most about the planet and the
Cosmo
effects? Cosmo Canyon.
I would have never expected that.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised too, because I was just looking up trivia questions. I was trying to find a good one, and I came across that one. I was like, Midgar is not the right answer. Can't be. A lot of the story apparently takes place in like before Crisis, which I don't think I played. Was that a mobile PSP? Hell, that could have been like a pocket game. I don't even know.
Before Crisis? Isn't that a new thing?
No, that's Ever Crisis is the new one. Before Crisis new? I don't think so.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, I have heard of it. Oh my god, I am so blanking. What's the Shinra people? Turks, I think. Man, we're off to a great start.
Interesting.
This is how it goes. Oh yeah, Before Crisis. Here we go. Before Crisis. Closed in 2018. Released in 2004. So yeah, it was, it's an older one. Definitely. Japanese action role-playing game developed and published by Square Enix, of course. Produced for mobile phones and was released on NTT Docomo's. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Weird.
I don't know what that is. That must be a Japanese thing. Anyway, I just kind of arbitrarily picked a Final Fantasy VII topic, though, because, I mean, that game's like 30 years old, so no one really thinks about it anymore.
Maybe they should remake it.
I think, you know what I think would be better instead of remaking it? I think they should remake it twice.
I think they should rebirth it.
Maybe three times. What do you think?
Maybe. Come to the conclusion that the third game, by the way, is going to be called Reunion.
It almost has to be. I think we've talked about this before. I think that's
called Reunion.
I think it's the perfect name. I really do.
Yeah, Reunion. So that'll be the.
I'm just going to go ahead and get the let the cat out of the bag. I don't have this game. I haven't picked it up. I haven't played it. Mainly financial reasons. I just did not have $70 I could drop on a game right now. Still playing through Final Fantasy 16, and I just couldn't rationalize dropping another $70 on a game. Not that I don't want to. It's why I've been saying you should buy it physical and then just let me borrow it.
I couldn't find it physical.
Blast through it.
I went to GameStop and they didn't have it, so I had to do digital.
At least you tried. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I will get it. And I promise not to wait till like next year to get it, but it might be a month or so before I. Now that I'm off Twitter and I don't see spoilers for things, my FOMO has gone way down.
People have been pretty good about spoilers for this game. I almost saw one in IGN post
IGN's bad for spoilers.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth makes a mess out of that one scene. Click here for major spoilers. And I'm like, oh my God, what?
It's not just that. IGN almost every time uses a spoiler in their thumbnail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll say that and then they'll have the scene in the picture that you can't avoid. But they are bad for that.
I still don't know what about that scene. So it's still the verdict's up whether or not so and so, a certain somebody takes an axe or not.
Okay. Spoilers for a 30-year-old game. Is the scene Aerith? Is that
probably,
what you're talking about?
Probably, okay. Yeah. So I didn't pay too much attention, so I still don't know if that happens. But okay. I just know because I did not play it today. I was going to play it today, but I fell asleep and took a nap after I ate my hibachi. So I had a very healthy evening. But last night when I got done playing, I had just made it to Costa del Sol. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. I guess first things first, how is it as far as a retelling of Final Fantasy VII? Are you enjoying it? Like, is it pretty faithful so far, or is it?
So I'll say this, with Final Fantasy VII Remake, you know that the first time I played it, it didn't hit for me. I couldn't get through VII Remake. I didn't like it that much. And then I streamed it and I liked it a lot better. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I still had the consensus. I preferred the original.
Yeah.
That's not the case at all with this. I think Final Fantasy VII Remake was like a demo, and they finally have perfected everything that I didn't. There's still a few things that it's not a perfect game, obviously, but everything I didn't like about VII Remake is so much better in this game.
That's interesting because all I've heard is people talking about how bad it is.
Rebirth?
Yeah. That's all I've heard.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm totally messing with you.
I was like, are you kidding me? I'm not
You're looking single. Actual stun
it's
silence.
Like, it's like I was about to say, I actually have one major complaint with this game that I think I've not heard anyone, I'm baffled I've heard no one talk about. But I'll get to that in a minute. But
is it someone that's going to spoil anything for me? Because I really want to keep this super spoiler-free.
It's a gameplay thing that I hate. I think it's just objectively bad, but it's not like hindering your enjoyment of the game bad. It's just
annoying. It's one of those things that I'm going to not have a problem with.
No, you might. I think you definitely will, because it's something to do with the open world, and I know how you get a little annoyed with open world stuff.
I sometimes do get really annoyed with open
world. I think you'll hate it, too, this part. I was going to say it. Why not? But I think when a game is open world, it needs a jump button. And
there's no jump button?
There's no jump button. And it has the same approach that it had with Final Fantasy VII Remake, where you have to sprint into something like a rock to jump down it. Well, that is so finicky and awkward. I can't stand it because the terrain is so uneven. It's unsure what you can actually jump down. And when you do actually jump down it, sometimes it's like it feels like you're breaking the game. Like Cloud will jump. The camera won't go with him. He'll drop like a rock and then the camera will suddenly go to him. It feels like you're breaking the game. It does not feel nice to do that. But with that being said, that is and if you're running with your chocobo.
Yeah,
you can like stub your running on a dirt road and stub
the chocobo
your toe.
Can't jump either.
No, not even like in 16. No, you're running with your chocobo. You like stub your toe on a brick on the dirt road and just stop. And it's like,
can I divert us for just a second with my own random complaint about Final Fantasy 16?
Yeah,
it is with the jump. Actually, I don't know why. Of all the things they decided to ground in reality was Clive's just normal jump height. Because when you're just walking around jumping, he can barely get off the ground.
It's so funny.
And then, you know, you get into a fight and he leaps like into the air. He flies around. Yeah. When he's running through like the wilderness or the hideout, he's like, and I'm like, dude,
well, I wish
It might as well not have a jump button because you can't jump over anything.
Yeah.
barely gets off the ground.
Ambrosia had a nasty jump and glide. Like,
oh, that's pretty cool.
I wish the chocobo controlled like that in this game. But that's just one complaint so far. Yeah. As far as the way the story's being presented, like you asked, that I never answered. I just kept beating around it. I think they're doing it's pretty faithful so far. There obviously are some parts that are quite different.
It has to diverge. I mean, we already diverged at the end. It has to be a little different.
But
I mean,
just
Zach being in this game has to change the narrative a little bit.
Yeah. Junon was when I was playing this game, I was like, I'm liking it pretty good. It's like, it's definitely catching me better than Remake did.
Oh,
but
yeah, Junon's before Costa Del Sol. I had those mixed up. I forgot about that.
You get to Junon, and it was just like, holy snot, this is good. Because I played
the parade,
The parade does the exact same mini game that you did when you danced with Andrea in the last game.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
So that same mini game.
Do you have to save that girl from drowning?
Yeah,
in this too. Wow, nice. Well, okay,
that girl. Oh.
Don't spoil anything.
I'm not gonna. You'll see.
Well, wait.
That's slightly different.
Was that girl somebody in the original one, or is it? It's that's different.
It's a different person now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different person now. Definitely.
Here's my other thing. I really want to play this game, and now you're just making me want to play it more. The problem is, I know if I do get this game right now, I will not finish 16 for a very long time.
Here's what I say, rip the bandage off 16, because 16 is a lot smaller of a game than 7 Remake.
I mean, I've been playing it consistently. Yeah. I'm just not done with it. Like, right now, I've had the Bahamut fight.
You're getting pretty close. That's like the last major. Well, no, there's one more major.
The Bahamut fight was cool. At first, I was like, why are we even fight? Because they kind of like have the fight and then back up and tell you what happened. Because he's like, oh, I'm going to Final Fantasy 16. He's like, oh, I'm going to help you. And then like the next scene is like, I'm murdering the city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's happening?
I thought that was cool.
Getting to though where like every time I do a main story quest, it's like a million side quests. And I'm like, okay, I got to go help this dude make bread again or something.
That brings me to something is like 7 Rebirth. It goes nuts with the optional stuff. I've seen people who have 15 hours logged, and someone said they had 6 hours logged and they had just stepped out of Calm.
Wow.
That is just the Nibelheim flashback in Calm.
I saw an article that just said, stop, like, getting yourself too lost in the open world.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. I do enough side stuff right now to feel I'm not doing my 15 approach where I felt like I was doing everything before I moved on with the story. I do enough to fulfill, like, I feel like I'm decently strong. And the side quests are from Final Fantasy and Square Enix have taken a long time to perfect their side quests. And I feel like every single side quest I have done has been interesting.
Okay, that's good. One of my complaints with 16 is that some of the side quests have been very boring.
And every single side quest I've done has involved fighting.
Okay.
Or
is it an interesting story at least or something? Because some of the ones in 16 are like literally, they're just boring.
And so far,
just boring.
All of them, almost a lot of them have included characters from 7 Remake. They're all coming. Sure. They've all come back, like all the new ones. Like that weird Merc chick who's pretended to be a Merc. Those hilarious bandits.
What about the reporter? I remember the reporter.
I haven't seen her yet, but she's probably there.
Sure. What about the old lady? What was her name?
I know who you're talking about.
She ended up being like somebody's secret. Like, what do they call her? I think she was she looked like an old lady, but she was actually like this mastermind thief or something like that. I can't remember the full details.
But it's so cool to see characters come back, like the biker dude that they introduced with that fight with Jesse.
He was vastly underused in Remake.
He has a major plot point in Junon.
Okay.
Because he's part of the parade you're competing with. So. God.
I'm going to have to just buy this game. The problem is I really want to finish 16, but I think that 7 Remake hurt me in this regard with 16 because I felt the need to do every side quest. But with 7 Remake, there were like 18 side quests, period.
Yeah.
But there were not that many. So I kind of went into 16 with the same, oh, look, you just do them as you go. It's 1, 2, 3. But now they're like opening up. I'm like, okay, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to keep up with the hunt boards and things like that. And it's just going kind of slow.
I'll say, man, it's like with when you get into this, 7 Remake feels like a demo to 7 Rebirth.
And I loved 7 Remake.
Yeah, and I liked it a lot too. I rank it very highly now, especially the streaming experience made it so much better. But oh my gosh, it's just like, and they pulled the 16 thing where you open up 16 with the flashback with Clive, a very like I'm grabbing you part. Nibelheim, that was some of the best video gaming I've ever done.
Do they just open straight into the memory then? I wondered.
No, there is a scene that they do at first, and I'm not going to say what it is.
But they don't just plop you outside of Midgar and say, walk over to Calm now.
Okay, here's exactly how it happens. The game starts with it, like, at the end of Rebirth.
I figured it would.
Yeah, and you do something there. Rebirth.
Oh, it starts at the end and then kind of
I don't know
up?
If it starts at the end of Rebirth, but it starts really far into the game with something crazy happening. And you doing something, playing as a certain someone, right at the beginning, before you, as soon as you hit start, you do that, and then it goes back to a scene where they're all driving from Midgar, and they're talking to Cloud. All right, how do you know Sephiroth? And he starts telling the story of how he knows Sephiroth.
So he tells it on the road.
Okay. And then they get to a hotel room, and that's where he tells it all.
I got it.
A hotel room in Calm, yeah. And he tells the whole story, him and Tifa, and...
I know you're not finished, but do you know about where the game ends as far as the
I'm
7 narrative?
I'm assuming it ends at...
You still don't know. Okay.
Where Aerith...
The scene.
...dies.
The scene.
The scene. I'm assuming... I feel like that's the only place it could end. Now, I will say every box art I've seen makes it seem like we get every party member in this game.
Yeah, I can't... I was thinking the same thing because I saw Cid. I saw Kate
Vincent.
Sid. Who's the last one you get? Is it Cid?
I think so.
Him or Cid Vincent? Last? No, Vincent's not last because Vincent you get first. He's optional, but he's definitely before. Well,
listen,
Rocket
this
Town.
Game. This game has a new set, new system where you can have like party loadouts. So when you're in the open world, you can just like hit triangle and a square or X. That's the button that brings up the menu, and then hit R2 and switch your party loadout. You can have 3 loadouts at a time. Okay. So you don't really. I still do main party right now. I think with all the characters I had, I was running my original OG 7 party, which was Cloud, Red, and Barret.
Yeah.
Can you play
as everybody this time?
Yeah, you can play as everybody.
Okay.
I don't like how Red 13 plays, sadly, that much.
Really?
He has a really bad range, but he has a cool mechanic where he has a block and dodge mechanic. You have to be really good at blocking and dodging, which I'm not.
I'm really good at blocking in 16.
Yeah, with the ring.
I'm using that ring. It's so great. When I realized, I don't mean to keep getting off topic, but you know the ring, it'll like pause and you can hit circle to dodge. You know, it's like gives you like just a little bit of a second to do it. I realized way too late that I could actually just, while it's doing that, I could trigger the Titan counterattack instead of dodging.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just do that instead. And now I'm just like,
that's an awesome move too. But Red and his range is just not good. So I'm thinking about subbing him out right now for Aerith.
I'd probably just let him run computer then. I just love Red 13.
That's what I'm doing right now too, honestly. It's just I like the way Aerith plays. Barret is glued, super glued to my party. I love that character. I love the way he plays in Remake and Rebirth.
Sure.
He's not going in. He's like my mage. He just sits back there. Just
I'll be 100% honest. It feels wrong to me to not play Cloud.
Oh, so I won't.
Even in Remake, I barely switched characters.
I didn't
when
know
Cloud died. I switched.
I didn't know that. Oh! I know what you mean. The only time I switch off of Cloud is like when I need to build up someone else's ATB. That's it.
I just feels weird not controlling Cloud mainly.
Yeah. Well, he also feels the best to play, just flat out.
Sure. I think they did that on purpose.
And they changed the Punisher a little bit. It has a little bit different animations, and it looks a whole lot cooler.
Did they address your major issue with things getting hit animations? Because I know that was your biggest complaint.
Okay, so no, but the game is designed around it a lot better. So far, there has been one boss that has annoyed me like crazy. And it's a really cool scene, but that's kind of a spoiler because it's a little different, so I'm not going to say it. But that boss annoyed me slightly, and it's it is what it is. But like last night, I did a boss that was honestly like jaw dropping. Like I didn't expect to fight what I fought, and it was jaw dropping, like amazing. And it was really hard. But unlike Seven Remake, I felt like a lot of the bosses in Seven Remake felt unfair and just grindy. This boss,
Hellhouse definitely did.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when I
And then the other one that bugged me was just, and it wasn't so hard, it was just annoying and tedious, was I think it's in the train graveyard. There's like a ghost you fight in the office that would just keep moving to the other side of the room and then doing like a wind thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, just stand still.
I hate that. Yeah. And this boss wasn't long. I took his HP down quick, but he was taking my HP down really quick, too.
Yeah.
So it was like I had to keep healing. It just felt, I felt like engaged. Right.
Is it harder than 16? Because 16's been relatively easy.
16's one of the easiest Final Fantasy games I ever played.
I actually, you kind of told me I beat the super boss already at like level 32. And I looked it up. It is the highest level hunt.
Yeah.
I was like, I was wondering why I got such good stuff for beating it. But yeah, one time. I mean, it used all my items and it did come down to the wires. It was the most engaging fight I'd had, but I shouldn't have been able to beat that.
I think the DLCs, because like I heard that the Leviathan DLC is going to add like 9 hours of gameplay to it.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so that's going to have like probably the equivalent of a super boss in it.
Sure.
I'd assume. But
I'm surprised there was no trophy or for that, to be honest.
It feels like that aspect of the game is incomplete
with 16.
Yeah, with the super boss. Yeah, with some kind of
it did, because you told me that. I was like, there's no way that's the super boss.
That's the fun part, because the only thing that keeps you playing these single player games after completion is some big super boss or completion.
They don't excite me like they used to, though. And I don't know why, but like the concept of a super boss in the PlayStation era of 7, 8, 9, I don't know. There was just something about you go under the water and you see Emerald Weapon kind of floating around. You're like, oh,
Seven,
what is that?
Perfected it.
But I just don't care as much in the more recent year. Like 13, I never bothered hunting it down. Couldn't even tell you who it is in 15. 16, apparently I stumbled across it on accident.
Seven perfected it because there are things you see in the world the whole game.
And maybe that's it. Maybe it's the loss of that overworld that makes
legend
me care
of it. Yeah. 15 kind of had it whenever that giant mountain in the middle randomly became
a turtle. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know if that was the. I think it was actually. I think it was the hardest thing to kill. 15 is one of the cases that had like multiple.
The other thing for me is. Recently, too, they've moved them from these things in the world to either the equivalents of hunts, or in 7 Remake, they were just, what were they? What's his name? Chadley?
Chadley. Let me ask you, did you not like Chadley in 7 Remake? Did you find him a little annoying and weird?
I found him a little annoying, yeah. But
well, guess what? Really,
I know he's back.
Oh, God, not only is he back. He doesn't shut up.
Oh, man, he was really like pompous. Yeah, I do remember
him.
He's
the center of everything in the open world.
Well, he was the center of a lot of stuff in the first one, too.
There's this really cool stuff you can do where you find life springs of poking out of the world. And he gives you a tool and you scan things to get him intel. Well, he'll talk to you like that. He'll call you and start talking to you almost every time you do it. His voice comes from the controller.
Oh, cool. I love when stuff like that happens.
And half the time you do that, because the music that plays at some of these things, because there's also three things in every area for the summon of the area. You find them, you scan them, you do the mini game. And if you do that, because you can find them in the simulator to get the summon. But if you find all three of the things, you can choose to fight a very weakened version of it because it's really hard.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do that and then fight the weakened version, but he starts talking to you and you have to put it up to your ear like a phone because the music's so loud you can't hear it.
Yeah.
So
I've got another game that did that. It's one of the coolest things. I like it. And I like there's some things in 14, like when your mount's walking and the controller will vibrate. And I think sometimes your mounts will like have a noise that comes out of the controller.
Yeah, that stuff's cool. It's cool.
I love that stuff.
He talks all the time. And he's always like, I'm surprised to see you made it to Junon. And I'm like, shut up. You little idiot.
But so back to that, like, a lot of the more recent games have moved them into that, like it's a fight simulator. Or, I mean, if you think about it, even starting in 10, a lot of the harder bosses are part of the monster arena.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then 12, I think, had a similar, or it was hunts. You know, they were part of the hunts, which, okay.
Something about having them in the world.
Yeah. And I think it's just that lack of an overworld that we haven't really had since 9.
Yeah.
I mean, has there been an overworld since 9?
No. And I think that, and 7 Rebirth is recreated the overworld in a really good way, but it definitely still has that modern RPG setup with side quests and hunts and nodes. Literally, this game is every open world game is Breath of the Wild now. You're looking for towers, you're unlocking the towers, you're looking for points of interest. It's fun. I love that formula. But it's getting overdone. I think this game does it really well, though.
There's two problems I have with modern gaming, and it's open world stuff like that. And hear me out before everybody starts riding me. It's open world stuff like that, and just these games as a service. But the thing is, they just keep coming out. So what ends up happening is you don't have time for any of them. You know, you used to be able to get a game, play a game, get a game, play a game. But now it seems like every game they sell you is designed to keep you engaged for like 300 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, who has time for this? Because honestly, I love Diablo, but even in season 3, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to have time to finish the battle pass, right? Because there's all these other things coming out. And then you look at these open world games that are literally designed to just keep you exploring and playing that game for as long as possible, that like, I feel like we're getting funneled into fewer over the top large scale adventures instead of these just smaller bite sized adventures we used to have. And maybe that's my boomer talking. I don't know.
And that's no, I think you're valid because I definitely for a long time loved open world games that I could play. And like 15 is the gateway drug of that for me because I loved getting lost in that world instead of moving on. But I think I'm finally hitting some burnout because my favorite parts of 7 Rebirth are the main quests when you're going through the story instead of, because again, traversing the open world is honestly kind of annoying the way you move around. And maybe it's just me. Hopefully it's something they're fixing. I don't know. But I feel like I'm just glitching all over the place, which is not actual glitching. It just feels like it.
And that's the thing I guess I'm getting at, because if you look at classic Final Fantasy, you could pretty much, I mean, you could spend a lot of time in there, but you could, even doing a bunch of the side quests, getting your ultimate weapons, you could still devour those games in 70 hours.
Yeah.
Right? But anymore, the base game is there, especially if it's an open world game, and then they always try to sell more DLC and keep it going, and they want these games to have life cycles that last 4 or 5 years. And you know, I have, and this is just me, I have MMOs for that. That's what I play 14 for, that type of content. I don't want to just keep playing the same game for the rest of my life.
Me neither. Like, and that's why I took on the approach of just doing enough side quests to make myself feel fulfilled, at least for sure finding the 3 summon nodes and getting the summon, because those fights are crazy engaging.
And I love doing everything in these big games, but I really, once it starts pushing that 70, 80 hour mark, I start to get the slog starts to set in. And maybe it's just me being old. I've got more time commitments. I don't have the time to game that I used to. And the other thing, going back to like overworld versus current, and I think you hit on it for me, because I never had a problem with overworlds. Actually, I love them. The thing I love most about some of those old Final Fantasy games is their overworld. That's why I've got hand-drawn maps I pick up at the Renaissance Fair on my wall. But I don't like the open world stuff they're doing today, and I think it's speed of travel. Because when the overworld, you could cover that whole map. I mean, you could fly from one end to the other in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you could get where you were going, but still have that sense of adventure. Whereas with a bunch of the open worlds, if you're talking about like Skyrim or something like that, it's like, sure, they have fast travel, or even with 16, it's like, okay, I got to fast travel to this point, and then I have to run out to, you know, wherever the hunt is. It takes me longer to run from the either point to the hunt location than it did for me to fly from Midgar to Cosmo Canyon, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, the scale is totally different. But, I mean, I guess I kind of like the small world feel of the old overworld. Does that make sense, or am I just talking
really
randomness here?
No, I feel the same way. I really – no, I don't not like the other approach, but I do miss games that have overworlds like that. Like, I really Sea of Stars – did I say that right? Yeah, Sea of Stars kind of had – it hit a chrono trigger overworld. So I that was refreshing to see.
So long.
Dude, I still have never played beaten Chrono Trigger. I got to Frog.
Never beaten it.
I got to Frog and my save file deleted.
I quit very shortly after Frog 2, actually. I remember something that happens around there.
I remember loving it, like being super engaged in it, though. So I need to go back. Yeah, no, I definitely missed that. I think 16 did it really well when they went 14's approach, the zones, open zone thing.
Yeah.
Now, I do think, because on you'll step 1 foot out of Calm and your jaw will hit the ground. Like, it's like, this is your childhood fully imagined.
That, though, I think is going to help me like it more because it's nostalgic. Because if I had no ties to this, I would probably find it annoying. Because I've never played an open world game that like just really sucked me in like that.
I've seen so many tweets of people being like, I tapped my wife on the shoulder and told her this is what I saw in 1997.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is what my little kid mind saw when I looked at that giant green plane.
I think it definitely helps.
And it helped with me, too, because it was really cool, especially when I got the June on, and you got to that part where the parade actually happens on that long street, and you can see it, like, exactly like it was in the PS1 game, reimagined.
Yeah.
And it's like, the same layout, it's the same. And it felt cool.
There were some moments in Remake for me like that, even though they redesigned a bunch of the city, you know, so like there are a whole section of that city. But like when you go out into Aerith's house for the first time, you know, that was awesome. And then parts of the train graveyard, I was like, oh, I remember this.
Super cool, dude. I will say the best thing about 7 Remake is that you're not fighting soldiers and robots the whole game. Holy crap.
I think focusing the whole game of Remake on Midgar was necessary, but also Midgar is the worst part of Final Fantasy VII. I don't know if it's a popular opinion, but it is the worst part of Final Fantasy VII. Not to say it's bad, but playing through Midgar has stopped me from replaying that game once or twice. Like, I've replayed the game 3 or 4 times, but I've been like, oh, I want to play Final. I just don't feel like dealing with Midgar. That is just the worst part of that game. And at first I was kind of surprised they chose to end it at Midgar until I saw what they did with it. Now I think that was because they took like 10% of the game and made it a 40-hour game, right? Yeah. I still think it was probably necessary to just even just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great game. I thought everything that happened in it was great. It just felt the locales felt too samey for a 40-hour journey. Yeah, it got a little exhausting. But now it's like even going from the grasslands to the Junon region is just completely different. And now I'm at Costa del Sol and it's like, oh, and there is a brand new card game in this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like the same card game you can play around and.
Yep, you play it. It's Final Fantasy VIII, just like it. You play it with NPCs that you can play it with. They'll have little things on their heads called Queen's Blood.
Well, this is official. I will never beat this game.
I ignored it for a while because I was like, I don't
ignore the card games anyway.
Well, but then it pulled a Final Fantasy IX when you get on the boat to Costa del Sol. I'm like, there is a card game tournament. And I'm like, God, I did not win.
Of course.
I didn't.
Yeah, because you've ignored it up until then.
I beat the first two. I learned it and beat the first two rounds. But then the third round,
you pick up cards by playing though, because that was the problem with 9.
You don't do that in Queen's Blood though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't buy booster packs from the thing, and they were like, the third round had decks that you know had been made, and I was like, I really, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to do side quests for this after this, but I'm not going to play it enough to like sit down and make it. So I just lost to him and moved on. But one of the funniest scenes in Final Fantasy history happens on that boat with Red 13. He is so mad that they won't let him participate in the Queen's Blood tournament because he's a dog. And then he ends up dressing up in a soldier outfit and standing up on two like a human. Well, and he's walking around like this going, because he well,
I mean, that isn't that a reference? He does that in Final Fantasy VII too. I can't. Well, and isn't it there? Because they're on a soldier transport ship when you do it, because everybody's dressed up in costume. Is that the same scene?
That's it. But there's a Queen's Blood tournament this time with it, sure. And it's all really lighthearted.
At that point, Barrett's dressed up like a white sailor outfit.
Yes! Dude, he looked good in that thing, too.
Okay, so it's the same scene. Yeah, because you find Red 13, and he's just kind of shuffling back and forth.
Yeah, but they did that with this now, and he dressed up so he could be in the tournament. That's the reason he did it this time. And he looked like that Powerline from the Goofy movie. That's what he looked like.
God, that's hilarious.
He looked exactly like Powerline from the Goofy movie. And you play him. It's like, I lost in the third round, and then he came out of nowhere and was challenging the random NPC they made for the Queen's Blood arc.
Oh, does Red 13 win the tournament if you don't?
No, he challenges her, and then she's like, no, you got to beat him first. And then I whooped him. Like, he sucked. Like, I beat him easier than I beat Tifa. But I beat, and then he, of course, I was like, how'd you get so good at this? Dude, Red 13 is hilarious in this game.
He's my favorite character.
Dude, because every time you go to a city, he just has kids swarmed around him, and he's like, I hate this.
So who have you picked up anybody besides the five yet? Then do you have Yuffie or
very close?
Okay,
to having Yuffie, okay. She's been around.
Did you ever play Intergrade?
No, and she had some kind of flashback thing, and I was like, I need to ask Wolfgens what happened in Intergrade because I forgot to play it before this
crazy
game
stuff.
I forgot to play Intergrade.
There was a fight in Intergrade that was harder than the entirety of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh God,
for me,
oh it Lord, took, that
like,
game
it was the
hard
only
enough.
Time like. I beat my head against the wall like five times on that boss. It was the final boss for her,
also,
her section.
Did Cloud have a unique attacking animation if you started attacking after a dodge in 7 Remake? Because in 7 Rebirth, if you dodge and you start attacking, you shoot out little like green beams from your blade and becomes ranged.
I don't remember that.
That makes these fights so much easier because if you have to dodge away and you just can keep attacking and just shoot them.
Look. I'm happy they got this, but you saying that reminds, just think of how cool an action RPG update of Final Fantasy VIII would be with the Gunblade. Dude, that would be so dope. They got to give me this.
Again, I think 8 needs a remake more than any other Final Fantasy game.
Gotta give me this.
I think 8 needs a remake. Clean up a little bit of the cheesy dialogue with some of the characters.
That game would look so... I think most of that cheesy dialogue came from... translation there.
It was also a product of its time because Zell is just Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sure.
Like he, which is why I love him so much. Sure. But like, and they need to like add a little bit. If they added backstory to Selfie and made it feel a little less like she was just hanging out.
I like the campiness. Like, Selfie has a backstory. You have the whole thing where you go to Trabia Garden. It gets distributed. You have that whole thing.
Yeah,
it gets bombed.
After that, she's just like, I don't know. She just never adds anything. And it's the game direction's fault because they never really let anyone have spotlight, but it's Swallow and Aroa.
I mean, it's a love story.
It is.
It's got two main characters and four secondary characters.
You gotta think about how 7 Remake made you feel ways about Jesse that you never thought you would feel. I want them to do that with Selfie.
Sure. Now that I would love to see in a remake because comparing it that way, because there's even characters in Final Fantasy VII I could take or leave. Like, let's see. I mean, they all. Yeah, but even he kind of ties back into once you find out who's...
Oh, dude, his big twist at the end of 7 was so cool. I'm definitely using Kate Sith when I get him in this game.
I hate that character.
I love him. He's so cool. He's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everybody in 7 really does... Well, there are some you can leave out and not really lose the main narrative. Like, I love him, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I guess if you didn't really get more backstory on Sid, you could still really... It wouldn't change too much.
Yeah.
You know, Vincent adds a lot of stuff just because he's more directly connected to Hojo and Sephiroth that you find out. You know what? I want to go back and play Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with Vincent in the remake and Rebirth.
Yeah. Isn't Matt Mercer voicing him?
Oh, yeah.
You know what you told me? Yeah.
They did a good job with that.
Oh, yeah. I want to play it, but I haven't yet. So far, though, you're liking it. Seems like we've got a positive.
No, I'm loving it. I think we are experiencing right now the game of the year easily. It is reviewing like a game of the year. Nines out of tens everywhere, some tens out of tens. So far, it's way better received than 7 Remake in reviews, which is reviews don't matter, but you know, it's amazing. It is super duper duper good, and I love
it. Is the battle system still similar to Remake? Kind of
it's,
that blend?
It's the exact same thing.
Okay, I like
plus that. More plus again. It's like it's the same thing, but better. They perfected the formula because 7 Remake. It just felt. Some of the things felt a little unfair. It felt just grindy and everything felt too tanky. And this game, everything feels achievable. They have new materia called like lightning and wind materia that casts like two, like fire and ice materia that casts fire and blizzard at once. I think that's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you start over at level 1.
15.
I'm assuming no matter what. Oh, you start at 15?
Yep.
Okay. That's an
which was confusing because in the flashback, you're 40. And I was like, God, they're starting this game at 40? And then somehow Cloud is a lower level than he was when he was a recruit currently. So,
yeah, because he lost all his memories.
So, and I guess if we weren't actually playing as Cloud.
Oh, I bet you're right. You're right, because you were playing as Zag, right?
So why? That's a story thing I'm interested to see because I don't remember it and I know why. No, that's what I don't know. I know that that's the way it is. I just don't know why. Like Cloud remembers Zach's memories there, and Tifa's just randomly went to bed that night. And she's like, I don't remember Cloud being there. Why didn't she speak up and say that?
So that was always. So did she say that in Remake and Rebirth?
Yeah.
Okay. That was always something that I wondered about. And there's been some articles that came out, and none of the answers really were satisfying for me. But it was like, you know, I guess it's how would you feel, you know, put yourself in Tifa's position. This guy shows up that you know, and then he starts telling you these intimate details of a story which he wasn't there for, but knows things he shouldn't, you know. And so then there's the thing like she's confused. She doesn't know. She's questioning her own memories of it because he knows things he shouldn't, but she doesn't remember him being there. So it's
She just brought it up to Aerith in one-on-one, though.
See, that's good, though. I think they should address things like that.
Yeah, that's good.
You should play. Crisis Core.
Figured
it gives you a little bit more of that because Cloud comes in. I'd say the second half of that game. Or maybe even closer to the last fourth. And, you know, towards the end, you get to the scene where it's him and Zach going through all that stuff. And they do a lot of crazy stuff to them and their experiments and stuff. And it's basically just, you know, he absorbed those stories. And he winds up with the Buster Sword based on, you know, how Zach goes out saving him. So basically he's coming back to himself after a long recovery. You know, he's got all these memories in his head, but he's got the sword that was in all those stories. So he kind of just attributes it to himself, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting, and I do think that Rebirth could do a really good job to clarify, because 7 itself doesn't clarify that enough for me.
Yeah,
having the most confusing part of the game.
Having Tifa be there hurts it in 7 original.
Without further explanation, it does.
Yeah, in this one, it feels like they're going to do a lot better. But I definitely remember being like, "Wait, what?" And I hope it's a lot more clear. So, another question: the whole point of this game when they left Midgar, right? Remind me at the end of 7 Remake, they're like, "We need to go find Sephiroth. He's going to destroy the world." And that's the whole thing when they go to Calm and out. They're going to look for Sephiroth.
Can't really remember because you fight Sephiroth. And I think
7 Remake,
Cloud knows that he didn't like destroy him for good. they know they can't go back. I kind of remember it just being like, we have no place to go but forward. So yeah. I don't know if they had like any particular goal when they left.
Their goal is looking for Sephiroth. And their lead in Rebirth is to follow these like dudes in robes that are, they can't speak. They're just walking in a certain direction. And they're like, and they're just walking.
Yeah, those were in 7. Those were
Were they?
You don't remember that time you go to... Oh, yeah. They're all over 7. Especially when you go, like right around when you get Vincent, when you go back to Nibelheim, they're everywhere because they're gathering on that location for the reunion. See, and the whole town's overrun with them.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah, okay. That's part.
And it's been a long time since I've played 7, though. So, that's from the original, though. That's not a...
They have like Genova cells in them, too, which is what's drawing them to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's part. That's original canon.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. Oh, God, you're making me... And those were in Remake, too. You ran into one of them, I think.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Like in your hotel room or something.
Yeah.
Or was that one of the wraiths? Are those things back?
No.
Oh. They're gone. We've actually dealt with those, I guess.
No, you accepted fate.
No, we didn't.
No,
we
defied fate.
The bird. Yeah.
You defied fate.
No, we flipped fate and the bird.
They effed off. They effed off. You defied fate, and they're like, fine, whatever. We won't try to keep you on track then.
Yeah. So do you think, now that you played a little bit more, do you think this is a sequel? Or do you actually think it's a retelling? Like, what are your thoughts?
It's definitely a retelling, because events are happening in the same order, and they're happening the same way. There are details so far that are not the same. Dominoes are definitely falling in different areas.
But what I mean is, a retelling wouldn't have the need for those fate-type characters to try to push you on a path.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do you think this ties into the original Final Fantasy VII in some way? By the end of the trilogy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't think there'd be any point to even introducing the idea of differences if you weren't going to do that.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, that Sony nailed down console exclusivity for the whole trilogy?
No.
I just saw that earlier today. Yeah.
Good for them.
At least
it's not like Xbox is looking to not make consoles anymore. So unless they want to put on Switch.
Yeah. Whatever's going. Remake never even came to Switch, did it?
Remake would not run on that thing.
I didn't think it would.
It would not. And now if they made a Switch 2, maybe, but it'd be weird to be like, hey, it's 2026. Here's the announcement of Final Fantasy VII Reunion. Final Fantasy VII Remake coming to Switch 2 at a lower FPS than the PS4 version.
Yeah, from 4 years ago or 5 years ago, however long it is at that point.
Shoot, Lord. So,
I will get this game shortly, maybe within the month. But you'll beat it before I buy it, likely, just because
I'm playing it a lot slower than I play most games recently. Like Persona 3, I blew through.
How you blow through games,
and it's mostly because I can't stay awake when I get home. I've been taking a lot of naps lately. I don't know what goes with that, but I am definitely playing it a lot slower than normal.
Enjoy
it. It's harder. It's all right. It's harder to binge than most of the other games I played. And the only reason 16 is the same way. The only reason I could binge 16 is because it was summer. I wasn't working and I could just sit there and play for hours. This game is so action packed and has so much going on. It's almost hard to absorb it for more than 2 hours at a time.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's almost hard. Like I got to Costa del Sol and I was like, oh, God, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. And again, like I said, when I got to Junon, that's like a solid 2 hours of gameplay without a single battle. That was some of the best gameplay I've done in the game. That's how you know it's a good game. The mini games are nailed.
The mini games in the first one pretty fun, just makes me like super excited for the Gold Saucer.
Yeah, and the way they do chocobos is different because you don't raise a chocobo anymore. You get a different chocobo every region. So you have the basic chocobo in the grasslands, and in Junon you get the chocobo that can climb surfaces. And to unlock the chocobo, you have to play a full-on like Metal Gear Solid minigame where you sneak up on it, dodge other chocobos looking at you, and it's really cool.
I wonder how that's going to play into chocobo racing, because the point of that was raising a good chocobo to win the races.
Well, it looks like they've completely remodeled it to be Mario Kart, so maybe they'll just have like different chocobos to pick from.
They should have just ported Chocobo Racing GP.
Yeah. Like
when you sit down, you just play a round of that. They should have the whole game loaded.
Yeah, that would be great. But awesome. I'm excited for Gold Saucer because that's when I get my Kate Sith and I'm subbing him in. I think I'm going to be running Cloud, Barrett, and Kate Sith.
What a weird part.
At least until Vincent comes and I'll consider putting Vincent in.
My favorite part, though, is when in the original Final Fantasy VII, when you get out of Midgar and they say, okay, we got to split up for some reason, meet up in Calm. How do you want to split the party? And if you pick Barrett and Red 13 and then Tifa and Aerith are over there and they're both like, oh, well, this is an interesting lineup. They're both like super.
I remember that because that's exactly how I split them up when I left.
They're both like, oh, this
I had my I had my main party. I had my main party as soon as we left.
I usually in the last in the couple original. Times the last couple times I've been playing it, I've been doing the original. I've been doing Cloud, Tifa, and Red 13.
Mm-hmm.
When we leave.
I thought you did Cid one time.
When we leave Midgar.
Oh, you yeah. do Cloud, Sid, and Red 13.
My
now,
main
right?
party is Cloud, Sid, and Red 13.
No, I mean, I'm just going to say, like, Barrett's one of my favorite Final Fantasy characters. He's my favorite in 7, yeah. And I think he's my third favorite Final Fantasy character overall.
I just love me a Dragoon-coded character.
Barrett's so funny. Like, there's a side quest in this game that I normally would have hated, where you have to deliver a message with a lady's dog to another town. And you have to travel on foot and just follow the dog. And it takes, like, 10 minutes. And you're just following this dog, and you're like, this is horrible. But you start off... And every side quest has you. There's a bonding relationship thing in this game where you get closer sure. with your teammates.
There always was in the original. It's just in the background.
Yeah, but it's very
who you want to play with.
It's very in the foreground now. And Barrett's talking to you for this one. So you're leaving, and you're delivering a message with the dog to the lady's son. And he says something like, "Man, I couldn't imagine just wanting to." Keep your kid and make them be your kid forever. And Cloud's like, what? And he goes, I mean, wouldn't you want them to grow up and be grown? I want to grow up and see Marlene soar. And then like 3 more minutes of running, he goes, I'm gonna be able to do that, right, Cloud? And Cloud's like, sure, whatever. 3 more minutes, he goes, I'm the worst father ever. I can't watch her go. I love my Marlene. He's like, Barrett, she's 6. It's like 3 more minutes. He goes, yeah, she's still my angel. And she always will be. It's like, and you get there and you're delivering it to him and she's pregnant. And he steps up and gives father advice. And he's like, you're going to need to take this money.
I'm glad they added stuff like that. Because one of my major complaints in Final Fantasy VII OG was Barrett's like the worst ass. Like he's like, hey, Marlene. You stay with this stranger we just met. I'm going to go and disappear for months. Okay.
He has the world's dying.
Sure.
He has to go save the world for her.
Uh-huh. He leaves her. I mean, I guess, you know, she's nice, but he doesn't know Aerith's mom like a day before he entrusts her with his 6-year-old daughter. No family. No, like, dude. People he has connections with. He's like, you know, you look like a decent lady.
There is
Would you
certain,
like another kid?
There is a certain charm Barrett has lost from the original where half of his dialogue was unreadable. I do miss that.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
really funny.
You
but
just
no,
had
Barrett,
to guess what curse word it was.
Barrett's just the most endearing character in this game. Like, 1,000%. Because
he is a good character.
Yeah, you get to a mine or something, and the mine after... the whole did Sephiroth do this thing, and he's like,
oh,
Merc,
like right
that sounds
snake.
Yeah, he's like, Merc, that sounds perfect for you, and he goes 2,000 gil, and he's like, oh, what? And then there comes a part later where they get separated, and Barrett's on his own, and you're controlling him, and you run into them, and he's like, hey, Barrett, can you drop that so we can get across? And he goes, and does a dumb little dance, and crouches down, goes 2,000 gil. Like, he's so funny, dude. He's just what that game needs.
Maybe I'll try to squirrel away $70 from our tax return or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not this price is so steep.
Yeah, it's just the games were going up $10. Just for some reason in my head, 70 is harder to justify than 60. If this game was $50, I would have pre-ordered it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely worth $70, but that's still $70 is still a lot.
Yeah. All right, well, we are running long on time a little bit here, and the more you're talking, it's just making me want to play a game I don't have, so...
I think that's a pretty good spoiler-free thoughts so far,
though. I think it was a very good spoiler-free just kind of first impression.
Very good game. You should get it.
Thank you for that.
I love it.
Well, then, do you have any final things you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would like more Final Fantasy remakes in this regard. I think Final Fantasy's got a good system set up where they could be releasing remakes alongside main title entries. So
I think the PS1 era needs a remake, all three of them.
I think
that would be awesome.
That would be a perfect. Maybe they just keep going on from 7. That would be pretty good. Now, I don't think they necessarily all need to be trilogies like 7 remake is.
I don't either.
8 maybe. Could 8 happen in 2 or 1 game?
I think so.
I think
you could do 8 and 9. I don't think 7 necessarily needed to be a trilogy. I mean, they really didn't need Midgard.
I think 7's a trilogy mostly because of the way they're wanting to set the story up.
I think 7's a trilogy mostly because they wanted to sell us 3 games.
That too. But the way they're setting the story up too is like. Definitely the end of 7 remake sets up for a completely different narrative.
It does.
And I think 7 reunion will set up for a completely different ending, especially if Aerith lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see the Zack factor and just how that changes.
Maybe he'll come in and die instead. We've said that like every time we bring
this game
up.
Yeah, that's my prediction. That's my prediction is that he still dies, but he dies saving.
What if they kill Tifa?
That won't work for me.
Are you a Tifa or an Aerith? You're getting into the ship Twitter wars now that everybody hates.
Tifa. It's always been Tifa. Always been Tifa.
I thought you liked Aerith.
I mean, I do like Aerith, but Tifa's always been the one for Cloud.
I agree.
OTP,
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Especially the remake. Like, Rebirth is really, really pushing it.
Even. The original, I mean, it was always kind of, I mean, they were childhood friends. It always hinted that one, I think he might have kind of had a crush on her when they were younger. I mean, they're the ones that are just being put. I mean, they're the closest as a relationship. I mean, she's the one that's with him when he's going through his mental breakdown. You know, it's him and her at the end, you know, in the cave or whatever. And then they're living together or at least it's kind of implied they're living together in Advent Children. So, like, I've never understood the ship war because Zack and Aerith, they were their love story. They were the ones for each other. And I think what attraction Aerith might have had to Cloud was what she saw reflected back from Zack. That's my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah.
But they each have somebody. So I don't know why people want Cloud and Aerith together. Now, I will say, I think the narrative is better when you go on a date with Aerith at the Gold Saucer. I do like that. I do always try to make, because it's just knowing what happens to her, it's just so sweet and sad and bittersweet to have that one night with her. So yeah, I do always try to get Aerith.
I think it's really sweet if you go on a date with Barrett.
Have you done it? It's pretty funny.
No, I've seen it though.
I did it just for the trophy.
It's like, man, this is a little awkward. Yeah. He's like, why don't you ask me to come?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That game is so good.
So good. Well, I think that will be it. This was a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth heavy episode, so there'll probably be more of those in the future. Let's just be honest. So
that's what we're going at.
So you go answer whoever's been texting you for the last 15 minutes.
I'm not gonna answer them. I've just been looking. I'm not gonna answer.
All right. Well, do you? I think that'll bring this one to a close, man. You got anything else you want to say or anything you want to plug?
Not really. Just stream as usual, and It's which has been very inactive this month with Persona 3 and 7 Rebirth, so
sure.
I'm the opposite. I'm doing a little bit more than usual. I'm starting a brand new campaign Thursday nights at 9:30. It's a Dragonbane, so it's not the same system. It's a new system that we're doing. Psychic is in that one, but otherwise a whole new cast for this game. Still doing Kupo Quest. Just had episode 52 on Monday, so that's still going strong. If you want to check that out. And
yeah.
Still stream a little bit of Magic. But yeah, we're ramping things up over at Wolfkin's Tabletop. So
nice.
There you go. Anyway, I think that'll bring this one to a close. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. You heard it here first. Don't
it is a Highwind Herald. Is a Highwind Herald avoid. Do not play this game.
So, or do. You know what? We're not your dads. Yeah, do what you cares? Want.
We ain't your dads. Who cares? Play it. It's good. It's real good.
Awesome. Well, with that, I think we'll sign off for this one. We'll see you next week. And please, you know, let us know what you're thinking, but please, if you reach out to us, keep it as spoiler-free as possible, because like I said, I don't have this game yet. So this is going to be the opposite. Remember how, like, you wouldn't beat... yeah, we flipped places, because you wouldn't beat Stranger in Paradise for, like, a year.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is so much more than that, though. It's like...
I know.
I didn't beat the edgy Final Fantasy 1 remake with chaos. That was amazing. I'm not making fun of it. I am kind of making fun of it. Well, the good thing about that game is that you can make fun of it.
I think it wants you to make fun of it.
It should. If it didn't, that's sad.
I think it knows. It knows what it
is. It has to know. All right, it's a great game.
All right, man. Well, with that, we'll see you next time.
Peace out, Cubs Scouts.
I love it.
Me too.
I love it that's sticking around.
Me too.